This is Worldviews. I'm Rebecca Cruz. I'm joined today by Noah Terrio, a professor here at the University of Oklahoma. And Noah, you've been specializing in a situation in the Philippines and done a great deal of research in the Philippines, just returned, in fact, here recently from the Philippines. We've heard a great deal this last couple of months about activities there. They have a new president who has been somewhat controversial. Maybe you could just give us a little bit of background and perhaps enlighten us to what your experiences were this past summer.
Sure. So the background to this is that they had an election in May in which Rodrigo Duterte was elected as the new president of the country after Noynoy Aquino reached his term limit. You're only allowed one term there as president. And I was there in July right after he took office, Duterte took office. And this was in the context of a war on drugs that he declared as soon as he was elected, which he had promised to do during the campaign.
Because the Philippines is a trafficking hub. This is a big issue. There's organized crime. Drugs are pretty prolific. So this was a big deal.
Well, there is an increasing problem there with methamphetamine trafficking and use in particular. Whether it's to the same scale as you see in Latin America or North America is hard to say. But there's definitely a sense that there's an increasing problem. And so his promise was to deliver law and order, and particularly in particular by cracking down on narco traffic. What I saw while I was there was mostly in the form of headlines because I wasn't, you know, directly witnessing any of the things that were going on. But there were some extremely disturbing images emerging of people who had been killed and left in the streets, often with cardboard signs attached to their bodies saying things like, "I'm a drug pusher, don't, you know, follow my example." And it definitely was creating a sense of increasing fear among activists and civil society, human rights advocates and others who were afraid that these extrajudicial killings were going to repeat patterns that they saw under previous administrations, in particular under Ferdinand Marcos, the dictator who ruled the country for more than 20 years leading up to 1986 when they had the People Power Revolution.
And Duterte, this should come as no surprise because these were things that he was perhaps doing while he was mayor for over 20 years. So he kind of ran on this platform and got quite a bit of support because of his hard line.
Certainly. His reputation preceded him. When he was mayor of Davao in southern Philippines, he had a reputation for using what some people call death squads to crack down on organized crime and others who he deemed to be threats to public security. And that practice seems to have been continued in his presidency now. And that has been very controversial. Even though he seems to have a lot of public support, there are many both within government and in civil society in the Philippines who are calling attention to the fact that these killings are being done without due process in many cases. And it's unclear whether the people who are being killed either by the police or by private actors are in fact involved in the narco traffic in the way that Duterte claims they are.
Well, and some in this country have compared him perhaps to Donald Trump. We're in an election cycle, someone who is willing to speak his mind and who, again, has claimed to have a hard line on these sorts of issues. Is that a fair assessment or not?
Well, there are a number of things that make that comparison appealing in the sense that he is sort of promising to go against the grain. He is willing to say things that offend people. He is willing to stand up to what people perceive as sort of the established elite. But in some ways also that comparison is very misleading because in the case of Duterte, he is actually someone with political experience. He was a mayor for more than 20 years. He served in Congress as well. And he has, in general, a more established track record as a politician. Likewise, he is not a billionaire, at least not that I know of, not that anyone knows of. And even though he comes from a political family, he's not seen as being part of the sort of wealthy. Like, being wealthy is not part of what has made him appeal to people. It's more that he promises to deliver law and order. So I think that's really the only commonality that I see between them. In addition, Duterte also has a lot of sort of progressive social outlooks and policies that he supports. So even as he says things that are extremely sexist, the policies that he actually endorses are far more progressive than most candidates in the Philippine election, and particularly at the national level. So he is a man of contradictions, I guess I would say, in that respect. One other sort of parallel that you can see, I guess, between the United States and the Philippines right now. The context in which Duterte was elected is one where the Philippines has had very strong economic growth in recent years, one of the strongest rates of economic growth in Asia. But there has been rising inequality and a sense that this economic growth is not benefiting ordinary people. And in fact, that inequality and poverty may be getting worse. So there's a lot of frustration with corruption, with inequality, with this notion that some people are really benefiting from growth and others aren't. And so those conditions, I think, are what favored a populist candidate who is willing to promise change at all costs.
Well, as you say, an interesting fellow. We'll definitely keep an eye out. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.